much about.
Calm down, girls. Don't get crazy. Just calm down.
Okay, cool. Let's get ready to hit the dance floor. In 3, 2, 1.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
VIG.
But the country's changing and people are freaking out about it. And I know they're freaking out because I keep hearing about the year 2042 on the news. For those of you who don't know, 2042, according to census figures, is the year when white people will be the minority in this country. They'll be 49% and white people are freaking out about it. Don't freak out, white people. You were the minority when you came to this country. Things seem to have worked out for you.
And now,
don't forget you could check out my thing on MySpace.
Our feature presentation.
I don't know that I want to check out your thing on MySpace.
No.
I know that I do not want to check out your thing on MySpace.
Is that still a thing, MySpace?
You guys... MySpace is really not. I don't know.
Not only is it still a thing, but who bought it last year? Was it Ashton Kutcher or Justin Timberlake? It was one of those guys.
I think it was.
Was it Timberlake who bought it? I think it was. He's bringing MySpace back. I remember that song.
Sure. Yeah, it was a hit.
So, Rodney, we were going to say no on...
Big, thick...
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what's going on in his Sunday night show, but it's getting...
It's getting better.
It's getting dirty.
It's getting better. I got to start tuning in.
Oh, my God.
Morning, everybody. Right. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's Wednesday, the 7th of May.
Last week, Lisa, I believe you were out. You were on vacation. Ralph did a story about a celebrity. Yell in from the other room, Dave, if you remember. I think it was a model who, in an interview, revealed that she was a member of the Mile High Club. I want to say it was like Chrissy Teigen or somebody that we like who said, yeah, I've done it on an airplane.
Okay. Yeah, Chrissy Teigen.
Great. Thank you. And we had a conversation about how unpleasant that must be, not for whoever was banging Chrissy Teigen, but just in general, sex in an airplane bathroom. I know people do it. Not everybody who's in the Mile High Club does it in the bathroom. Some people just manage to, get enough room in their seats or whatever on a flight that's not full or something like that.
Some people do it in the aisle.
Sure. Some people do it in the cockpit.
Sure.
But those bathrooms, I mean, they literally get smaller all the time. I mean, they're much smaller than they were when we flew as kids, right?
Well, you were, I don't remember, like, but I think, they're tiny.
I think you tiny. Were way smaller when you flew as a kid.
Right,
though.
Of course. But I'm just saying, I think that's one of the places on an airplane where they have tried to save some real estate by just making the bathroom smaller and smaller and smaller. I mean, I'm a big guy, but I can barely turn around in a bathroom. There's no way in a million years I could be in there with a second person.
Depends on how hot the second person is.
Or if the second person is Brad Williams.
Sure.
So that's why I say to you how unlikely it is that this story happened. Here's a British woman who was flying from London to Las Vegas. She ended up being handcuffed on the flight. Flight attendants had to break down the restroom door because she and a man she had just met on the plane were having sex in the bathroom and loudly. Other passengers were complaining. They went to the bathroom. People could hear loud noises. A passenger from the plane told the UK's Sun. The cabin crew forced the door open. She screamed while she was being handcuffed, screaming drunken abuse. She was shackled to her seat. Now, already you have a bunch of unlikely circumstances there. Somebody she just met on a plane.
Right.
But you said drunken.
And drunken, yes.
Sure. So she's drunk.
But the craziest thing about the story is, to me, that she was flying with and handcuffed into her seat sitting next to both of her parents.
Yay!
What?
Oh, no.
Wouldn't you think that just having your parents on the plane would stop you from having sex in an airplane restroom? Wow.
How drunk was she?
No kidding.
Or how horny was she? Or how something was she? But
how hot was he?
And imagine what the rest of that flight was like as her parents sat there just covering their eyes and shaking their head and just embarrassed. And
we don't know her. She's not with us. We don't know her.
Yeah, exactly.
And they were taking that girl to Las Vegas.
Yeah, I guess.
To Las Vegas. That's the last place she needs to be.
Oh, my God.
It's on Virgin Atlantic, by the way. It sounds like it might be some
ironically
sort of
names.
or some sort of promotion for the airline. I don't know. Because, you know, they always have those risque ads. But anyway, the spokesperson for the airline said the airline does not tolerate disruptive passengers. The safety and welfare of our passengers and crew is the airline's top priority. But I would like a follow-up interview with that entire family to find out.
Oh, my God, yes.
The details on that flight. Wouldn't that be that's the after show I want.
Talk to mom, talk to dad, talk to the girl, yep. Talk to the guy.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. There's a lot of info
thick.
There.
All right. Maybe Rodney. Maybe Rodney could moderate. I don't know.
Maybe it was Rodney.
Could have been.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Go, period, period, yourself, exclamation point.
Thanks for that tweet, Bean.
How?
Yes.
On the program today.
Dare you?
How dare you, sir? You're the one that tweets this stuff. So we just make fun of what you tweet. It's out there. You put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
No one's twisting your arm.
I feel you take it out of context.
Godzilla World premiere tickets.
Okay.
On today's show, we have Seth Rogen, the star of Neighbors.
Love him.
We have from the Los Angeles Kings defenseman Drew Doughty talking about the Kings Ducks series, which begins again tomorrow night at Staples Center. We have Ryan Bites is a guy who we're going to have on the program today. This is a guy who you may have heard us talking about. His mission in life is to own every copy of the movie Speed on VHS.
A very worthy goal.
Now, VHS, kids, is an old technology where you used to watch movies on an actual tape.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk to him, and I agree with Bean. That is, if there's a more worthy goal, I'm not aware of it.
Yeah, that makes makes a lot of sense. It just seems like a good use of time and resources.
Exactly. And we'll talk about bad marriage proposals. So that's coming up this morning. As we will take a quick break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. Yeah. 106.7
hey.
KROQ. It's KROQ. This is the Ben Bean Show at 5:53.
Lisa, sure. Where were you? That was your chance. Come
it
on.
It was?
Hey, how about the KROQ Wiener Rose 2014? We are fast approaching the time you can buy your tickets if you are a KROQ Street Team member. It's coming up on Friday at noon. The show is Saturday, May 31st at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Get all the details at KROQ.com. You don't want to miss it. It's the event of the summer. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hot fudge. Holy moly.
Okay. All right, boy wonder, what's going on?
It's my new catchphrase. You like it?
Hot fudge.
Hot fudge. Holy moly.
I think it'll catch on.
I think so, too. I think it's going to be a big, big hit.
Sure.
Already got the T-shirts printed up, so fingers crossed. You know what I'm saying? Emma Stone is just the best. Did you see her in that lip sync contest she had with Jimmy Fallon?
I did.
Show?
I saw
awesome.
That, and I saw her come out on Saturday Night Live with her boyfriend the other night, and she just could not be more adorable.
Well, women are going to hate her a little bit more today. Because she reveals in 17 magazine that there are rumors that she has been starving herself because she looks so thin. Emma says that's not the case. The problem is, Lisa, and I'm sure you and many of your friends share this, she just can't keep weight on, Lisa.
Oh, my God.
She can eat anything she wants.
It's a struggle for her to try to keep at a healthy weight. She just... It's just hard to gain weight for her.
I do feel bad.
I mean, that's a rough one.
It is. Most women have to deal with that.
I struggled with that most of my life.
I know.
And then it's
horrible.
Just flipped.
And Muggs has got that
know?
Now, too. Same
yeah.
thing.
You
right.
Just keep eating just to maintain a decent weight.
That falls into the
looks too skeletal.
That falls into the category of if certain things are true of you. Keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
No one wants to hear it.
You may not want to.
You know, Angelina Jolie has that same problem.
Does she?
She gets a little, you know, like, life gets a little rough. She gets a little depressed, whatever. Just weight just falls off her.
Wow.
You cannot
what a curse.
Keep it on. It's
brutal.
The worst.
We feel bad for you, Emma Stone. We hate you.
Yes.
We don't hate Emma Stone.
No.
We do now.
We don't like her as much as we used to, though.
That's right.
This would be an interesting topic, I think, to talk about here on the... what show is this again?
This is the Kevin,
Kevin and
Bean
Show. Yes. Long-time crushes that you ended up with. Let's say you had a crush on somebody in, like, high school.
Mm-hmm.
You loved the captain of the football team or whatever, and he didn't know you existed. And then years later, through a series of circumstances, you ended up getting together.
It happens. Yeah.
It does happen, and such was the case with Amber Heard. It turns out, years ago, in her high school in Austin, Texas... She had pictures of Johnny Depp all over her room as a teenager. Huge crush on Johnny Depp.
So did everyone else, I imagine.
Johnny
right?
Depp. Yeah, but not everyone else ended up engaged to Johnny Depp. So how much of a mind F must it be if you're a kid and you adore this person from afar, and then you grow up and you have relationships and you go about your business and you become a successful actress, whatever, and then the next thing you know, later in life, boom, there you are, engaged to the object of your teenage affections for all those years.
Yeah, that's strange.
It's gotta be wild, right? But her dreams literally are coming true. So I felt when I finally had sex with Adam West.
I'm sorry?
Nothing. Did I say it loud?
You did, yeah.
John Hamm is just the best thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
I like him more and more. The more I hear him talk and the more I watch him on Mad Men, of course, he's a brilliant actor, but he seems like a really good guy, too. Most recently, he called Justin Bieber an S-head. I don't know if you saw that interview with Men's Fitness, which I thought was spectacular. But Us Weekly has put together a list of some of his best quotes from interviews that make you just love him. All I can say is, I don't get Miley Cyrus. I don't get Katy Perry. I don't get One Direction, John Hamm said. God love him. I want to see movies that aren't, oh my God, does the vampire love me? You know, something for people who don't care about Team Jacob. And lastly, John is aware of how he must sound to people because he said, I'm slowly morphing into that guy who shakes his fist and shouts, get off my lawn. So am I, John, so I'm on your side. And Gwyneth Paltrow, although her personal relationships seem to be in disarray, her professional relationships are booming. She just opened her first goop shop.
All right.
Let's all go down to the goop shop.
I can't afford to go to the goop
Lisa,
shop.
Lisa, I'll buy you something at the goop shop. All it's right. on me. Let's go.
You couldn't park at the goop shop.
I'll be happy to give you some goop, Lisa. I promise.
Explain to people.
At the store.
Goop. The goop shop.
Okay.
I figure you get goop at the goop shop, right?
Yeah.
That's what we used to call a local strip club in my neighborhood when I was growing up. The goop shop. It's a tiny shop in Brentwood. Of course it is.
Of course.
And it's stocked with, according to Gwyneth, all manner of things, including home decor items, self-help books, cookbooks, delicate jewelry, natural beauty products, kids' items, clothes, shoes, and bags. That's a Goodwill. It's a Goodwill store.
Is it the $999.99 store?
Yeah, apparently it is, yeah. So if you want to get your hands on some goop, head over to Brentwood and check out Gwyneth's new store.
What days is she running the register, does it say? It
does not say. She's probably in the back stocking merch, I'm assuming.
Yeah,
she's opening
true.
Up the boxes and moving pallets and things like that.
Sure.
Today's celebrity birthdays, guitarist Phil Campbell of Motorhead is 53 years old today. Our buddy Doug Benson, very funny comedian, very stoned comedian.
Yeah.
He is 50 years old.
You think
today.
He'll treat himself to something nice, a little celebration
an
today?
An edible, I think, for his birthday.
Probably,
get an edible.
Yeah.
Get a big weed cake. Breckenmeyer, another friend of the show, he is 40 years old today. Drummer Matt Helders of Arctic Monkeys is 28. And Tracy Lords, the legendary adult film actress Tracy Lords, celebrates her 46th birthday today. I miss Tracy's work. She had a knack.
She did have a knack.
She had a couple of knackers. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The man is trying to collect all the copies of the movie Speed on VHS. We'll talk to him in about 40 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, actor Seth Rogen on the program today. And Kevin, Drew Doughty from your Los Angeles Kings is going to be joining us at 8:30 or a little bit after this morning on K-Rock. You know, I was thinking about, as I was reading the story about the new world's oldest man who happens to be an American. We think back to, you know, World War II as being ancient history.
Right.
I mean, 1939, when that war began, look, I'm old, and that was well before my parents were born. This guy, who's now the oldest man in the world, was already 36 years old when World War II began, and he's still alive.
Oh, my God.
He's 111. Here's the news audio.
After blowing out these candles at his recent birthday celebration, Alex Imich has earned himself title of oldest man in the world. A distinction he honors with humor.
I don't know. I simply didn't die any other.
What? Alex was born in Poland in February 1903, just months after the Wright brothers flew an airplane. He recalls the first time he saw one land.
There was no place to land inside, so outside on the field.
And while shrugging off his new title, he credits good genes, athletics, and a minimal diet to his longevity.
I could listen to her talk to him all day, and this is his answer to that last question.
I was not drinking, not alcohol.
Right.
No alcohol? Is that what he's saying?
That is one of the things that he attributes his life to, yes, that he never drank alcohol.
Well, good interview. Good interview, first of all, I have to say, for the news.
I'd rather die younger, to be honest.
And drink.
Right.
Well, let's not mock her trying to talk to the new oldest man in the world, because we're about to try to do the same thing. On the phone, 111 years old from New York City, Alexander Imek joins us on the Kevin DeMeech Show. Hi, Mr. Imek.
Hey.
Can we call you Alex, or is it Alexander? What do you go by? Hello?
You can call me.
We can call you what?
Yes. Come on, we just started.
What was that?
Are you okay? You didn't die, did you? It'd be terrible if we killed the oldest man in the world.
It'd be awesome.
You can call
me. Can we call it what?
Call me out.
Oh, do not.
Come on. Good night, everybody. So, Al, I got nothing else.
It's hard to talk if you call me Al.
So you're really old.
Yeah. Yeah, what's, I'm what? Old.
What? Yeah, you're old. He said, yeah, I'm old.
Yeah.
You still getting your share of the tail, though?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I like big butts and I can not like.
What has been the most surprising or remarkable thing you've seen living through all of the 20th century?
Should we just bail?
Alex, you okay?
There's a nurse with you.
Is this too much for you? Okay. We're going to let you go to sleep, maybe for a long, long time.
The most amazing thing.
The yes. most amazing thing.
I have seen.
You've seen.
Head up his boobies.
Yeah.
Well, nothing wrong with that. I'm surprised they didn't give you a heart attack.
Motorboat.
Right.
I like big butts.
Okay. More than just a dream.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 25 minutes till 7. They, of course, are playing the K-Rock Wayne Rose 2014. Tickets go on sale Friday at noon. You have to be a K-Rock Street Team member. Go to krock.com, sign up. You'll get a password. Then you can buy those tickets on Friday.
And let me tell you something about our friends Fitz and the Tantrums, too. Not only are they amazing live, but you'll be surprised how many great songs they have that you know.
Yeah, true.
We've been playing a lot of Fitz and the Tantrum songs over the past few years, and I love every one of them, so I'm very excited about seeing them again on May 31st at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. I'm not comparing what happened yesterday, Kevin, to 9/11.
You shouldn't. That's absurd.
But I will say that there is a loss of innocence. There is you do wish you could turn back the hands of time and go back before an awful thing happened. I mean, this time yesterday, just yesterday morning, just 24 hours ago right now, it was before the tragedy of BKHUPM, as the kids call it now, before what's... Kevin hung up on Paul McCartney.
Oh.
Because the world was a different place. It was a nicer place. It was a sweeter place. It was a place with more respect. It was before Kevin hung up on a Beatle. And I wish we could go back to that time, but unfortunately it happened, and we just have to kind of live with the consequences of it.
How do you wish we could go back to that time before me, more than me?
Just because.
Which I think is the case.
It probably is, just because it's so painful. As a guy who has grown up idolizing Paul McCartney, and what a thrill and what an honor it was to have the man on our show yesterday.
But he was saying goodbye.
Right, but still, look, he heard the click, Kevin. He knew he was hung up on. And I think that's what, I mean, that's how undignified that is, that we hung up on a Beatle, and he knows that. We're now the a-hole Americans who hung up on him while he was, out of the goodness of his heart, giving us his time.
And you know what happened?
You're assuming that.
Like that last moment, that's the only thing that sticks with you.
That's right.
However
Lisa, you're just making this work just because it's fun.
It's true. might be.
But you're absolutely right. Look, you don't remember the tremendous meal you had when you find a bug in your dessert. That's all you remember is that it got spoiled at the end because there was a bug in your food.
All right, is this 9/11 or bug in your food? And those are two very different things.
I'm saying it's a little bit of everything.
Come on.
For folks who weren't listening yesterday, they got spared, man. They're lucky they didn't have to hear this, but we're going to force it on you anyway. Here's the end of the call as we're wrapping up. A very, I thought, entertaining and candid interview with Mr. McCartney. We do have it up at krock.com if you want to hear the whole thing. And things were going pretty well until the end when Kevin decided, oh, wait, I forgot I hate the Beatles, so I'm going to hang up on this jerk. I don't know if we'll ever have a chance to do this again, Sir Paul, but thank you so much for the time. It's a real honor to have you on the program today.
Listen, that's a really nice interview. So, I hope to see you at the gig.
Absolutely, sir. Thanks for the call.
Let's make it a date.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Bye. Oops.
Well, he was saying goodbye. He's saying see you guys.
And then
at which point I thought that is a goodbye. Mm-hmm. See you guys. A lot of people would hang up after see you guys.
A lot of people would just wait.
Right. Like what was the rush? There was no rush. I just thought he was finished.
Kevin, I can't believe he's generous enough to be back on the phone, but I think we have an opportunity for you to make good.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
And at least apologize if that's what Mr. McCartney asked. And he joins us back on the Kevin DeBean Show right now. Hi, Sir Paul.
Well, good morning, fellas. How are you?
We're good.
Can't thank you enough.
Are you good?
For giving us a second chance.
We're good. Did you hear me hang up on you yesterday, or was this a surprise?
Of course I heard you hanging up on me.
Well, I didn't know if you were already hanging up. You say goodbye. You take the phone away from you.
I was already hanging up when I was talking. You thought I would hang up on myself.
No, but you were saying goodbye, which is a very short word, and then I imagine
I wasn't saying goodbye at all.
It sounded like you were saying goodbye because you said see ya.
Play it again.
You already said see you. Okay, I'll play it again.
I hope to see you at the gig.
Absolutely, sir. Thanks for the call.
Let's make it a date.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Bye. Oops.
You hung up on Paul McCartney. Well, he was saying goodbye.
So you said, see you guys. Bye.
So seeing you guys, buying you all a yacht would be a good idea.
That is not possible.
Well, I know what I said.
So we missed out on a yacht because...
And buying you all a yacht would be a good idea.
That would have been so much better.
I was going to get each of you a yacht.
Is it too late for the yacht?
I think it is.
Yeah.
I would think so. Because no one likes to be hung up on.
I didn't mean to hang up on you. Hello? Paul? Did he hang up?
Yeah, how's that sound?
It felt pretty
feel good, does it?
It felt pretty bad, yeah, actually. Hello?
All right, I didn't do it that time either, but now you know what it feels like.
Right, but Kevin, look, you have a golden opportunity here to make things right. Just apologize to the man. Just tell him it was a mistake.
It was a mistake. Mm-hmm. I apologize, Sir Paul. I thought when you said see ya, that was the goodbye, and so then I was going to hang up.
So you couldn't give me 20 extra seconds?
Well, apparently not.
No, apparently you couldn't.
Yeah. I didn't know you were going to say you're going to buy us a yacht. Wow, that sucks.
He really hung up on you. See,
is
it hurts,
really good?
Right? It hurts.
Yeah, it hurts, doesn't it? What?
He's still on the phone. It sounds like you hung up
for real.
I'm just trying to teach him a lesson.
Well, I didn't do it on purpose.
Well, he's clearly gone now.
I didn't do it on purpose. He can't possibly think I did it on purpose.
Well, it's just sloppy.
It may have been sloppy, but it wasn't on purpose. It wasn't like I did it on purpose.
It was him. You should be extra careful.
Kevin's an asshole.
Well, now he can take off the phone. Maria writes in, Dear Kevin Abita, you've called the show many times over the years, and I've had Kevin cut me off while I was mid-goodbye several times. It is supremely off-putting each and every time. Believe me, Sir Paul noticed it when it happened to him. Thank you, Maria. Thank you, Maria, for writing in on that.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Maria. Thank you for understanding the pain I went through.
Yeah. Well, Paul, I didn't do it on purpose. It was an accident. And if I hurt your feelings, I'm sorry. Well, I'd still like the yacht. I mean, if that's not asking too much.
Now I'm really gone.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
They could record an album not on a boat, right?
I think
they're on a boat.
Technology does exist, yes.
Sounds like it. Hey, Rob is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
I heard your conversation with Sir Paul there. That was...
I don't know that we mended any bridges there, Ralph. I'm sorry to say.
I think...
Hey, I apologized.
I think you guys are down to one Beatle left that you'll be able to talk to ever again.
So. Yeah. But at least it's the good one.
You mean Ringo?
Right. At least it's the only one people care about.
I think he'll come on and do traffic, actually.
I'm sure he would.
He's looking for a gig. You know, speaking of Sir Paul, this made me think of this amazing mashup. You know, most mashups, I don't think, sound that great. They sound kind of forced,
yeah,
and it's kind of a novelty and stuff, but this new one's amazing. The two songs, one of them is Girls, Girls, Girls by Motley Crue.
Right.
And then I'll let you discover what the other one is. Let's play this mashup.
That's pretty well
done.
It's
insane how well that fits together.
That's pretty well done.
Yeah, it's by a group called Wax Audio, and you can find that on YouTube. It's crazy. It's crazy good.
No point in that. No point in that at all.
It's fun. That's the point, Bean.
Bean does not enjoy fun.
Sir Paul would have liked it before you hung up on him.
I don't even... What's the point of that?
Jessica Alba said that she will never do a nude scene in any movie.
Let's not jump to any kind of conclusions here.
Never.
Isn't she young to be speaking for the rest of her life?
Right. Never. 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 She tells Glamour magazine in an upcoming interview, "It's because," and I quote, "I don't want my grandparents to see my boobs." That's it. It would be weird at Christmas. And I mean, really, if you look at the movies that I have done, getting naked would never elevate the picture, she said. I believe she's aware of her career. Which is good.
Can't we just wait till her grandparents are dead and then go for it?
It's a good question.
Not a good question.
It is a good question.
If that's her only concern?
She's got kids, too. I'm sure as the grandparents start to...
She didn't say kids. She said grandparents.
But I'm sure that concern will take over once the grandparents are gone.
Well, now you're making excuses for her, and I won't tolerate it.
I think she just doesn't want to show you her boobs, being relaxed.
Well, then she's wrong. But she's making a poor choice.
Eminem's just booked a new gig, a little intimate show at Wembley Stadium this summer. Not the arena, the stadium.
Yeah.
He was on BBC One last night making the announcement. Wembley Stadium holds 90,000 people.
Yep.
Usually you got to be George Michael or the Spice Girls to play Wembley.
Yeah, Eminem plans on filling that place on July the 11th. That's the date for the show, so... I'm guessing tickets are available?
Yeah.
90,000?
Playing the Rose Bowl here.
That's a gamble.
Yeah, it is.
It's a gamble. Because he's been sort of out of the public eye for a while. Doesn't have a hit single or album he's working off of. But, look, he's great. I don't know what his draw is in the UK, though. I have no idea what his fan base is like. So we'll have to wait and see. And Beyonce just got bitch slapped by Monica Lewinsky.
That's not possible.
In print, anyway.
Oh.
In the new issue of Vanity Fair magazine, apparently Monica Lewinsky's back and she's doing interviews again. Ugh.
Wait, why? Because of the Bill Clinton thing?
She's just talking about her life and what's been happening since...
I don't know. Who cares?
No one cares. She seems to think that we're all, like, laying in wait, gunning for her. She's like, I've been ducking too long. Now I'm gonna live my life and I don't care what people say. And I was like, huh?
Let me interject on this, Ralph, because I've been following this story with interest. I think what Monica Lewinsky is saying is, look, I made a terrible mistake for which I take responsibility. I was 24 years old, and no one is allowing me to move on. And she's not just talking about us like she's not suggesting that we all sit around thinking about her or laughing at her. But she's, you know, gone on to try to do other things, like get an economics degree and other things, and she cannot get work. because of what happened to her when she was 24 years old. And she thinks it's rightfully unfair.
That may be, but the thrust of her interview is, I was going to start my own business, but I waited until after the 2012 elections because I didn't want to
influence
anything for the Democrats. And you know what? I wasn't going to talk now, but because Hillary might run, so I don't want to be a game changer. Shut up! No one cares.
I'm sympathetic to what she's saying in that she has tried very hard to avoid the public eye for the last 16 years since this thing happened, with very few exceptions.
But it's very different between going out and living your life versus going to Vanity Fair and doing an interview.
But I think she's trying to point out the hypocrisy of, because she's the woman or because she was the junior power player in that relationship, she has a scarlet letter on her for the rest of her life.
But you can't tell everyone to move on and get over it and then go and do an interview with Vanity Fair talking about it. You can't have it both ways.
I'm going to recommend that that people read that article when it comes out and see if it changes your mind about Monica Lewinsky. I spent a lot of time thinking about
that. I don't understand how she did what she did so publicly and can't get a job offer. That doesn't make sense to me.
Not the kind of job it pays.
You know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's right.
Yep.
I do.
All right.
Do.
Yep.
Anyway, the point of my story was Beyonce's got a new lyric in her song. Not a new lyric. A lyric in her song, Partition. Where Beyonce sings, now my mascara running, red lipstick smudged. Oh, he's so horny, he want to F. He popped all my buttons, he ripped my blouse. He Monica Lewinsky'd on my gown. Well, Monica Lewinsky, in this new interview, goes out of her way to correct Beyonce. She said, Beyonce, if we're verbing, I think you meant Bill Clinton'd on my gown, not Monica Lewinsky'd.
That's a good point.
She's got a point.
She does have a point.
Yeah. Now I'm glad she's back in the public eye because she has set that controversy straight.
I like her.
I'm just saying I think she makes some valid points.
Where's that blue dress? I'd like to make some soup.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Guitarist Phil Campbell of Motorhead, 53 years old today. Comedian Doug Benson. How funny is he? 50 years old. Tracy Lords is 46. Brecken Meyer is 40 years old. Matt Helders, drummer for Arctic Monkeys, is 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You can stream that album in its entirety, The Black Keys, the new one, at krock.com if you'd like. It's a pretty good album.
Yeah.
These guys are great.
It's a super good album. I love the psychedelic music anyway. And I love that they got a bunch of that on this record. Hey, welcome to the Kevin DeBeach Show here for a Wednesday. He is number 8 for the Los Angeles Kings. And Kevin, number 1 in your heart. Mr. Drew Doughty joins us next hour. Talking about the playoffs against the Ducks, also actor Seth Rogen. First, though, listen to this and find out what the World Speed Project is all about.
My name is Ryan Bites. I'm chairman of the World Speed Project, and I collect all the VHS copies of the movie Speed. The World Speed Project started in 2006. I was like, these things are everywhere. I'm just going to start collecting all of them. So I went into this, like, Pond One, and I asked them, how many copies of Speed do you have? Because I'll buy all of them. And that's when it all started.
Okay. Now, we all have to have dreams, right?
Sure.
Yes. Where are you going?
What?
Don't try to poop on Ryan's dream here. I'm 1,000% behind Ryan.
How does Ryan believe that once he accomplishes buying all the VHS copies of the 1994 movie Speed...
Okay.
...gets him anywhere? Like, what then?
Yeah.
Why don't we find out? Ryan's on the phone right now. Hey, Ryan, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great.
Don't listen to Kevin. He's a hater.
Oh, wait. Let me just ask a question. Why?
You know, that's obviously the first question everybody asks. But you have to realize when you ask why, you assume there's a purpose. And the World Speed Project is an exercise in radical uselessness.
I do
Kevin,
that every
you have
day.
To get behind that.
I do. That's my life.
Radical uselessness is that's what you're all about. So it started at Christmas one year, as I understand. You're living in Seattle. You're super broke. You're Christmas shopping. How did you find your way to a bunch of copies of Speed?
Like the video says, I was in a pawn shop, and they had you know, it's funny, they had like 6 copies of Speed, like 10 copies of Jurassic Park, like probably 10 copies of Jerry Maguire also. And I only picked Speed because it was the only rated R movie my parents would let us watch as a kid.
Okay, so that movie holds a special place in your heart.
Precisely. It was the first movie I was allowed to watch that had a lot of swearing in it.
Okay. All right, so you bought all six copies to distribute as Christmas gifts, and then a light bulb went off over your head that you thought, hey, this is pretty cool to have so many copies of one movie.
Right, exactly, yeah. And I just started laying them in pseudo-ritualistic fashion and putting candles around them and laying with them. I feel like the spirit of Keanu came right inside me.
You're certifiably crazy. Yes
that
or no?
That might be true.
Okay.
All that right. might be true. All right. So you had the six, and then how long did it take you before you started adding to your collection, Ryan?
You know, yeah, I got the six, and then I think I, like, bought a couple more, and I just thought it was, like, kind of funny. And then I was in another pawn shop. There's a lot of pawn shops in Seattle. I just went into another one, and they had, like, four or five on the shelf. And I went up to the guy at the counter, and I said, I'll buy every single copy you have. Like, do you have any more in the back? And he just brings out stacks of them that are, like, saran wrapped together. And he says they're like basically trash around there. And so he sells me, like, 30 copies right there for, like, I don't know, like $10. It was insane.
Okay. Now you're off and running. By the way, in the interest of accuracy and our good friend Macklemore, really there are more thrift shops than there are pawn shops here.
Yeah, you know, that might be true. But if you go along Aurora in Seattle, which is the old highway that took you to Vancouver, BC, it's nothing but pawn shops.
Oh, don't I know, man. That's right. the dead hooker highway, don't I know. All right,
exactly,
so now you got yourself a little bit of a collection. And when did it start to get crazy? Like, look, it's one thing to have 30. I mean, that's bizarre enough. But then when you get to be 100 and 200 and 300, at this point, it's far beyond just thrift shops at this point. You got to be buying them online from all over the world, right?
Right, exactly. And there's a humorous, like, inverse relationship that occurs. Like, the more copies you get, the less fascinating it is, because I've already had hundreds of copies laying around. I'm so numb to it that a new one is so, like, it's so, like, normal for me to just have somebody, like, drop off 10 copies, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool, thanks, throw them in the pile, you know?
Yeah, and we noticed that on your video for Kickstarter, that you just really just toss them. Like,
yeah,
the box
is full of them, yeah.
Like, they're just nothing. It's like, it's trash. So there's
I guess film being trash is like a nice metaphor, and me being like a trash collector is an even better one. I don't think anybody said that yet, but I really like that image.
I think so. I totally get what you're going for. And there's no target here. There's no goal. It's not like when I get to 1,000, I'm done, or 10,000, whatever it is. You just plan to just keep going as far as you can, right?
Not even as far as I can. I need every single copy.
All right. Do you have a lot of people just mailing them to you? Because you do have an address in Pullman, Washington, where people can send you videos. Are people doing that?
Yeah. In fact, my mom said the other day that I got something like 20 packages in the mail, much to the dismay of my stepfather. So I think it's going well.
Beer Mug, you've got one. Don't you have a speed copy you have for Ryan?
I do.
Are you going to send it to him?
I don't know.
It's He's going to wait until it's the last one and then command a huge price.
This is what I tell everybody who threatens to hold out. You'll die one day, and then I'll have my copy.
Ryan, what's the Kickstarter all about? What are you trying to raise money for? What is Project 2525?
So I bought a 15-passenger Dodge minibus, like a big Dodge van that got converted into like a shuttle bus for like an outpatient clinic. And the bus is a bit of a lemon. It overheats in 90-plus degree weather. But that's because I need some new fuel pump for it. And the bus also needs to be painted like the bus in the movie Speed. So that way when I come to your town, to Los Angeles, I will, you know, you'll see who's coming. I'll arrive in style.
So you're going to tour the collection, basically, once you get the van up and running.
Right, yeah, that's phase two of the project. And, you know, it's weird. I've gotten emails from, like, modern art galleries, like the Philadelphia, like, Mausoleum of Contemporary Art. Emailed me and said they'd give me a gallery show. So it's like things are lining up, you know.
That's fantastic. Have you gotten any reaction from any of the players involved in making or acting in the movie?
No, you know, Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock's, like, personal celebrity pages on Facebook have liked the World Speed Project on Facebook. So I don't know if that means that they are aware of the project or if one of their, you know, digital media interns clicked like for them.
Right.
But also, the screenwriter Graham Yost commented to Entertainment Weekly that besides stopping war and ending world hunger, that the World Speed Project is the most important thing a person could do.
Well, I think that's true.
Come on, right there.
Yeah. I think that's true.
Come on, everybody.
Yeah, I understand the spirit of the project.
I want to go back to something you said, if you don't mind. The more you get, the less you care about them. So really, by design, By the time you get them all, you're not going to have any interest in it.
Yeah, it might be something like E equals MC squared, you know, like the closer I get to having all of them, like my physical form will just disappear.
I think that's likely right.
Now, I looked again in your Kickstarter, like you're only trying to raise like $2,500 or something, right? And that's mainly to fix up the van?
Yeah, I'm not especially greedy, but if people want to give me $10,000, there's a reward on the Kickstarter that me and that person will drive to your fair city and try to find Keanu and get a photo with him.
That sounds like a pretty awesome road trip right there. Look, I support dreamers. I don't know where Kevin's coming from here. I think you are doing the Lord's work, Ryan, and I wish you nothing but success, my friend.
Thank you.
When you drive that bus through Los Angeles looking for Keanu, can you go under 50 miles an hour?
I will try not to.
Okay.
If I get pulled over, I'm going to have to keep going, and so you'll probably see me on the news.
Now I support you.
All right, you can go to Kickstarter and just do a search for the World Speed Project, and that'll bring you to Ryan's page. Good luck with it, Ryan. We'll definitely keep following the story and see how it goes for you. We appreciate the time today.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Anything else to say?
I don't think I have anything too exciting
All right,
to say.
Great.
But
thank you, Ryan.
Copies or I'm coming after you.
All right. You hang up first, and then we'll move on.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye now.
Oh,
that was
wow,
very
Kevin.
Mature, Kevin. Very safe.
Very
I like
careful.
It.
Is he gone? Am I good now?
Yep.
It sounds like he's gone.
All right.
K-Rock Sweeney Roast 2014, just announced earlier this week, is going to be Saturday, May 31st at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. By the way, every year we go down there, Kevin, and every year where they say, oh, no, this last year, man,
yeah.
they're tearing this place down.
Apartment complex.
Yeah, yep. Apartments. We always hear that they're tearing it down, yet every year we're back there for the Weenie Roast. So what's up?
I don't have an answer for you.
I don't know what's up. I don't know why I thought you would.
I don't know either.
Avicii, Foster the People, Fallout Boy, The Neighborhood, Bastille, Fits in the Tantrums, Cap Cities, Fantagram, the 1975, American Authors, Congos, Bleachers, Cherub. So much music on one big night in the summertime. It's so much fun. K-Rock Street Team members can buy tickets Friday at noon. Please go to K-Rock.com for all the details.
Honey Boo Boo is not a show that we've paid much attention to recently. Have they not had new episodes in a while? Is that the...
Story? I think so. I think it has been, it seems like, in a long hiatus.
I guess in March, we missed this, but one of her kids, Anna is her real name, Chickadee is her nickname.
Chickadee.
Mm-hmm.
Got engaged.
I think Chickadee is, it's been a while since I've seen the show, I think she's the third fattest of the kids.
Okay.
So she'd be the fourth fattest in the house.
Well, then this is a good proposal. Her fiancé, the way he proposed to her was that he ordered a pizza,
mm-hmm.
and on it, the pepperoni spelled, marry me.
Yay! Well, that's labor intensive.
No, he probably didn't have to do it, though. Right?
Oh, he had them do it?
Probably had them do it.
Then that's
not. Whoever is delivering the pizza do it, just like you'd have them make a birthday cake,
I
think.
Oh, I see.
Now, here's the question I have for you, Lisa, and I know this is a difficult one for you to answer because you didn't grow up in this little town in Arkansas where wherever the F they live, so your life has been very different from theirs. Is it possible that this was an awesome proposal?
Yes.
No, it's possible it was good.
I mean, if they never go anywhere, which I'm thinking they don't,
right,
or really do anything, then
I mean, it doesn't. I mean, look,
first of all, they're
very young. Okay, that's not a proposal for a 35-year-old woman, but
right.
she's 19 years old. So
and they love pizza.
Yes,
they do love food more than anything. They certainly don't have a lot of money unless mom is, you know, June is and Sugar Bear are distributing that TV money down to the kids. I don't know how much they're getting, but I sense that it's not like he had a tremendous cash supply at
right.
his disposal here.
Plus, how risky is that with a family that will take that pizza and cram it down their throats in one bite?
Before she even gets
yes.
to see it?
Before she even gets close to it.
That's an excellent point. Of it, she's looking at going, what does R-E mean? I don't even understand what this is. So, I don't know. I mean, most of us look at that and go, that's not how you want to be engaged to, is with it spelled out on a pizza. That, to me, seems like it falls short of the dream proposal that most young women hope for. But we thought it might be an interesting topic to hear from listeners who have had terrible proposals. I guess we'd be looking for ladies, right? It's mostly the girls who get
proposed.
Yeah,
or it
right?
could be guys that did something that's you know, embarrassing.
That's
or
true.
Whatever. But
yeah.
Here's the thing. There's two different topics, and we want one and we don't want the other. We don't want girls complaining about guys that did their best.
But
right?
it wasn't good enough for them.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
We want guys just failed.
Right. So would this be like a great idea went horribly wrong?
Yes,
kind
that
of
would
thing?
Be fine.
Or very little effort put into it, or a failure of imagination, yeah. or
because you don't have to have money to have imagination.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Yeah. So we want to hear from you if the proposal fell short. You're not super picky about this. And by the way, it doesn't mean you didn't love the guy and didn't get married and you're not, you know, didn't live happily ever after. But it's just it wasn't the proposal that you hoped it would be because the guy just didn't put any thought into it. Or it was a disaster when it happened.
Hey, Bean, it just occurred to me while you were talking, while we're waiting for the phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't you tell people you're very
romantic.
The way that you proposed so romantically to your wife.
Why are you going to come at me
because
like that?
Because it just this occurred to me that you have the perfect example.
Is it a story?
No.
That Mrs. Bean is delighted to tell her friends all these years later? No.
It is not, no.
Does it make me look like a catch? No.
No.
It was a Saturday night in Hollywood, and we were thinking of going to the movies, and we called. At the time, there was movie phone, where you called to see what the movies were, and the movie we wanted to go see was sold out. And we didn't really have a backup plan. And the way the story goes, I said, well, we can't go to the movies, so what do you want to do now? I mean, we can go to Las Vegas and get married.
That was literally Bean's proposal.
Have you thought about it for 1 second before it came out of your mouth?
I don't know. I don't. You know my memory, but I don't think so. It certainly wasn't something we were talking about. It's not like we were having all these conversations about wanting to get married. And by the way, let's remember we had been dating for less than 5 months at that point.
All so good. This is all good signs.
It's not like we were
funny.
It's not like we were 4 years into it and it was inevitable. I mean, it was 4.5 months at this
point.
Well,
that was the first time marriage was brought up, I imagine.
Yes, I think so. I think that's accurate, Kevin.
But did you laugh after you said it?
Yeah, was it a joke?
That's a crazy idea. And then she said, let's do it.
Well, Donna's recollection of it is that we had a house guest, former producer of The Kevin and Bean Show, and this was before he came to work at K-Rock, but Frank Murphy. Some of our longtime listeners remember Frank. Mm-hmm. Frank was visiting us and staying with us that weekend.
So you just wanted out?
She claims
Frank's not an exciting guest.
She claims that I suggested it to impress Frank. I suggested it just to give us something to do rather than sit around and look at Frank. So that's where
so
she
Frank
thinks
went
it came
too?
From. Oh yeah, Frank came with us.
He was his best man.
Yeah, we all flew to Las Vegas together. Frank was the best man. Then we turned around and came back. We literally were on the ground in Las Vegas for just 2 hours.
You are a romantic bastard.
We landed at 11, though. Came back at 1.
Your wife thought you did it just to impress Frank and still said yes.
And still said yes.
I know,
there's
right?
There's something wrong with both of you.
Absolutely.
That's true, and you need to hang on to her because you're never going to find another one like that.
Yes.
A movie or go to Vegas and get married? That's how you propose?
With Frank? Now that you put it in the context of bad marriage proposals, I guess that kind of does qualify, doesn't
it? It's pretty bad, Bean.
Well, I think that's tough to beat. I mean, tough to beat in badness. Right. Like, at least this dude bought a pizza.
At least this guy had pizza.
At least he thought ahead to have them arrange the pepperonis. All of a sudden, this one isn't so bad.
Pizza does make everything better. It does. All right. We got some great calls. We'll take a very quick break. George, please hang on. Wendy, Michelle, Stephanie. Apparently a lot of bad marriage proposals are happening in the Kevin and Bean audience. And we'll talk to all of you next right after this on K-Rock. So Chickadee on the Honey Boo Boo reality TV show gets proposed to by her fiancé presenting a pizza with the pepperoni arranged to spell marry me. Not the world's greatest proposal, but I bet our listeners can beat it with even worse ones at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Wendy up first. She's on line 2.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hello.
You had a bad proposal. What happened?
Well, we were at Kmart one day, and I see a ring that I like, and my boyfriend actually got it for me. We get to the car, and he just hands it to me.
And I thought you meant like you wandered off, he went back and bought it so he could have it later.
No, I mean, I didn't know he got it for me, but when we got to the car, he just gave it to me, and I'm just looking at him like,
really?
Okay. And he's like, well, I'm like, what does it mean? And he's like, oh, well, duh, if you want to marry me.
Duh, if you want to marry me. I hope you got that engraved inside the ring. I like duh, if you want to marry me. That's strong.
Did you guys get married?
We're still engaged.
You're still engaged.
How long ago was this?
13 years.
No, it was a year ago.
A year ago.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
Well, hang on to him. He sounds like a keeper. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Stephanie up next. She's on line 7. Let's find out how her man blew it.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hi.
What happened? How did you get proposed to?
Oh, my God. He was 18. I was 19. We were standing in his parents' kitchen and talking, and then he said, oh, I have something for you. Pulled the ring out of his pocket. No box, no nothing. And just kind of handed it to me. And
you're,
I was
you had to clear the lint out and then go, what is this?
and I'm curious, Stephanie. I mean, look, if you love the guy and the important thing is that he proposed and that you guys get married, that's all great. But don't most girls have something else in mind for a proposal?
Oh, you know, we're raised watching these stupid romantic comedies where it's a big event. And so that's what we're expecting when a guy proposes to us.
It's not just that. There's also a lot of social pressure on girls because every other girl in the world that knows you will go, how did he do it? How did he do it? How did he do it? You have to have a good story.
Oh, no, so it was great telling everybody that he was just in his parents' kitchen.
Oh, no. Yeah. You make something up at that point.
I mean, look, it doesn't have to be a big, expensive, even elaborate thing. It can just be, you know, you guys walking in the park or something like that. But not in the parents' kitchen with other people in the next room. That's no bueno.
And just adding it to you. Like, not prefacing it with something nice.
Duh. Let's get married.
Did he say that? Thank you for the call, Stephanie. We appreciate it. Becky writes in, Dear Kevin and Bean, we were all sitting around my boyfriend's parents' dinner table eating when my ex, yes, I said ex, threw a box at my head and went back to eating. I opened it and I said, oh, thank you, thinking it was just a ring he picked up. But about an hour later, he said, hey, are you going to answer me? Apparently, him throwing the box at me was his big romantic gesture. I sadly said yes, but the marriage only lasted about a year.
Was he a caveman?
By the way, the kind of proposals where you don't know that you're being proposed to, those may be the worst.
Aren't you going to give me an answer?
Let's go to...
By the way, if that is ever comes up, the answer is no.
Yes.
It should be no, yeah. Let's go to Melinda, by the way. She's on line, too. She's got a funny story.
Hi, Melinda.
Hi.
How did you get proposed to?
My now husband told me to meet him at the bar. Went to the bar. He was pretty hammered. Throws me a black bag. Says, well, let's get married. And I said, okay. Mm-hmm. Next day, I show up at his house. He says, where'd you get that ring from? And I said, you gave it to me last night. Oh, okay.
Please tell me he had no memory of the married thing.
No. And we've been married 16 years.
So he was still into it, though, once you explained that you were engaged.
Yeah. We eloped.
Okay. Well, that's good, at least. All right. Thank you for the call.
That's just proof that women are better than men.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let's talk to David. He's on line 5. We haven't heard a guy who blew the proposal yet. This might be fun.
Hey, David.
Hi. How's it going?
Good.
Mary, hi.
Hi there.
What'd you do, you dumbass?
Actually, it wasn't my fault.
Okay, what happened?
I had our anniversary lined up, perfectly planned out, a nice romantic evening. Like, she likes to go downtown Long Beach by the pier and the water, especially at night. Mm-hmm.
But wait, you said you had your anniversary planned out. This is before you got married, so you're just talking about, like, 1 year you've been together?
Well, actually, we're engaged. We've been engaged for almost 2 years now. So the problem was... Okay, I had the ring picked out. I got it. I had everything planned out.
But it took you too long to get to the part where you asked her the question?
No. So we were going to go out, and she told me, oh, you know what? I have to go pick up my sister. Can we pass by and pick her up? And I said, okay, sure. We go down. She's at a hair salon. She's getting her hair done.
Please tell me she said no.
I can't take it. So after an hour of waiting,
David.
I tell her, you know what, can we just go downtown?
David, there's nothing. We can't.
What's the point of this story?
We just can't.
I know you're trying to give us just the details, but you're not bringing it to life, David.
You're a good guy. I hope she said no.
But exciting story.
We can't risk our whole audience going to sleep. We can bore them. We don't need you for that.
Exactly. All right. We only have time for one more, Kevin. Which one do you like?
Let's talk to, I don't know, you want to do Laura?
I agree. Let's
Laura's
go back to
good,
David.
Yeah.
Back to David. All right, I'm up on David. You think that's an opportunity?
No, I'm
all
kidding.
Right. Hi, Laura.
Hey.
What
Hi,
happened?
Hello.
You have to cleanse our palate after David. Make it short and sweet. What happened?
Okay, short and sweet. So my boyfriend and I had been dating about a year, and we'd gone to the mall to do a bunch of different errands, and we're doing all these different things, and we'd stopped kind of you know, just browsing at a jewelry store. And then we kept going on doing other things. He had to go to Sears to get some power tools.
Right.
So we're going down the escalator at Sears into the power tool section, you know, because he had to get a drill or something. And he looks at me and he goes, oh, you know, that ring that we saw, you know, at that jewelry place, that'd be a good engagement ring, you know, if you, like, wanted to get married.
Wow.
Did he have the ring with him?
Oh, no. We'd just seen it.
He was suggesting that perhaps you wanted to walk back and get it together.
Right, you know. And I looked at him and I went, no. No, you don't get to propose to me on the escalator at Sears.
Good for you.
And it wasn't even going up. It was going down.
That's right. Yeah. Which is just a metaphor for where your relationship was going if you said yes. All right.
So
much better, Laura.
And then, like, you know, 2 weeks later, he took me out on a romantic date.
And did it right.
Proposed beautifully. And we were married for many, many years and have an amazing child. And, you know, so it all worked out well.
There you go. A happy ending. Fantastic. Thank you, Laura.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
It's the return of Seth Rogen on The Kevin and Bean Show right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph has the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Hey, interesting news. Jack White's gone fully insane.
He's always been partially insane.
We've been waiting. He's been creeping towards the precipice of insanity for some time now, and it's good to know he's finally thrown himself into the abyss.
Is he making an even faster record than the one he made last week?
No, he's just, boy, does he love vinyl. Boy,
he does.
Some people like vinyl, and then there's Jack White, who, if he could, would make sweet love to vinyl.
Is that what he's doing now?
No, but it's pretty close. He's got a vinyl version of his new solo album, Lazaretto.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the features of the vinyl version of Lazaretto.
Features?
Got some time?
Sure.
Kick back. Put your feet up. We're going to be here a while.
All right.
It's on 180-gram vinyl.
Is that normal?
That's the best you can get. It's the best vinyl you can get. That's the vinyl they say really captures whatever fidelity quality that vinyl offers over digital music.
Okay.
This is how you get it. You got to get it the high-end 180-gram vinyl.
It's not the cheap plastic. This is the good stuff, all right?
There are two vinyl-only hidden tracks hidden on the record. Beneath the center label.
What?
You have to peel the label. You know the center of an LP has that label with all the track listings and stuff written on it?
Right.
You got to peel that off. And hidden underneath that label on each side is an additional vinyl-only track. Here's an idea. Just put the tracks on the regular record.
Then put it on CD.
Don't make me get out a putty knife and scrape off the label to the record so I can hear what you're hiding. One hidden track plays at 78 revolutions per minute, and another one plays at 45 revolutions per minute.
What is happening?
So of those two hidden tracks on each side, both of them are at different speeds than the rest of the album. You got 33 and a third, you got 78 on one side and 45 on another. It's a three-speed record.
He might be making us work too hard.
Side A of the record, side A plays from the outside in. You got to put the needle on the inside of the record, and then it plays out. It's grooved the opposite direction, so at the end of the record, the needle's on the far end, the edge of the record.
Wow, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
Do you get a handler with every copy who comes to your house and explains it to you and shows you how to use the product?
One song, Just One Drink, has two different introductions to it. Depending on where you drop the needle, one will be acoustic and one will be electric. And then the grooves meet for the body of the song, so it plays out regularly. But depending on where you drop the record needle, it'll play different intros.
Ruff, you're the vice president of showbiz.
Yes.
What's he going for here? Why is he doing this?
Bat-S insanity is what he's going for.
Could be.
The dead wax area on side A, which is the blank, you know, there's like grooves, so it has the music and then just blanks.
Right.
But that isn't really blank. On side A, it's got a hand-etched hologram.
What? What?
It's got a different running order from the CD digital version. It's got different mixes than the CD digital version. It's got zero compression.
for the music. It was used during the recording, mixing, and mastering. Jack is calling this an ultra LP. I'm calling it bullshit.
You can't say that. I mean, what you said sounds accurate, but you can't use that word.
I'm calling it BS.
Right. What if you don't even have a record player? What am I supposed to do then?
You just rub it up against your nipples and butterflies spring out of the center of the record.
Make sure to rub it up against your nipples at the right speed, though, Kevin. Otherwise, you'll play it at 78 instead of 45 on this 33.
Come on, Jack. Come on. Just make some records.
Isn't he crazy?
Just put out a CD. Just stop your BS.
Just put it on iTunes and just let us hit download. Just let us do that.
Make your music. Stop making us work so hard. You got to peel labels off. Get to secret tracks. Is this a treasure hunt?
It is, apparently. It does kind of seem like it. It's a Rubik's Cube or something.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Phil Campbell of Motorhead's 53 years old today. Doug Benson is 50. Tracy Lords, the adult entertainer of note, 46 years old. Of course, she's a legit actress, too.
She did Melrose Place, wasn't she?
Melrose Place, yeah. And the movie Crybaby, and other work for John Waters.
We had her on a few times over the years. Very nice lady.
Very nice and very talented, actually. Mm-hmm. But yet, still, the mind reaches back to her nude period.
Yeah. From 8 to 10, I believe, is how old she was.
She was, I think she was 16 to 18, I guess, when she worked. Brecken Meyer, 40 years old today. Matt Helders of Arctic Monkeys turns 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I think Rogan's just getting high.
Yes. Yes, I do.
I'm supposed to do an interview with Seth Rogen.
Right.
About Neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll have him. I feel good about it.
Should I start the intro?
If you hit the big intro, I think he'll be on the phone when it's over.
You tell her you're a virgin. This is how it's going to go. Tell me.
I'm a virgin.
I like that because you don't have chlamydia.
What if she laughs at me, though?
Then you punch her in the head if she laughs.
What's it like to have guns?
It is awesome. McLovin, I mean, it's like having two if one of your could kill someone.
I'm pregnant.
Off.
What?
What?
I'm pregnant.
With emotion?
With a baby. You're the father.
What the f***? You can make a porno.
If it's so easy, how come everybody doesn't do it?
Because other people have options and dignity, which we do not have, which puts us in an amazingly advantageous position.
You have dignity.
Where? I saw someone murder someone else, and we gotta get the F out of here. Let's go. Are you high? What? No, I'm not high.
You are high as a f***.
I'm not hot. Damn, we're not on acid. We didn't suck each other's d***. James Franco didn't suck last night. Now I know y'all are tripping.
Hells yeah. Producer, actor, writer, director, stand-up, friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, Seth Rogen, back with a new movie called Neighbors, opening everywhere in theaters this Friday. Hey, Seth, how's it going, man?
Good, how are you?
Very good. Always good to have you on the program. I wish I had not seen you in drag on Fallon last night. That's going to be a tough image to wash out. But some people, they can pull it off. They can make that transition to the opposite sex. Even without the beard, Seth, that was rough, dude.
I know. I think I kept the beard as kind of a safety blanket so no one could truly criticize what I looked like.
Just to let everyone know you're not really trying.
There was a moment I got a glimpse of myself in the monitor dressed as the girl, and I literally said out loud, I feel like this girl. That's what I feel like. That's how I see myself all the time.
Well, maybe it changes.
As a big, hairy, redheaded 12-year-old girl.
Maybe it changes in order.
Well,
yes,
let's,
I think it changes in order.
Let's talk about your co-star in the film and in the ooh bit that you did, or the you. How do you pronounce that? Ooh, right? Ooh is what the bit was. Zac Efron appeared with you in that, and he makes an outstanding girl because he makes an outstanding boy. He's awfully pretty, isn't he, Seth?
He's a very pretty man. He's incredibly attractive, and I don't know what else you can say about it.
Could you elaborate, please?
I would say even as a girl, he's prettier than a lot of girls I've been with.
you are going to break his post-High School Musical streak of being in terrible movies that lose money at the box office. This movie can't miss, and he's got to be so happy to be in it. Tell us about working with Zach.
He had a very good work ethic. He's a very hard worker. He took the work very seriously, which was nice. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm generally just most concerned about the performance, you know, whether or not the movie's doing well. So I think, like, his performance was really good. So that made me happy on a day-to-day basis.
The trailer is ridiculous. I mean, I know that you've screened this movie for a bunch of people, and that's kind of part of your process is seeing what works so that's all killer, no filler. But, I mean, people are applauding in theaters at this trailer. I don't know if you've been to one and seen that, but people are so excited about this Neighbors movie.
No, that's awesome. If people really like it. I've watched it with a lot of audiences. It plays really well. Like, it gets massive laughs all the way through. I'm so happy. Thank God.
Did you
having made ones that don't always play well, it's nice to have one that really does.
Do you ever get the huge laughter and then you think to yourself, that wasn't supposed to be, that wasn't where I thought the laugh would come?
Every once in a while, but we go with it.
Now, Seth, I haven't exhaustively researched your IMDb page, so correct me if I'm wrong, but this is a real-life grown-up role for you. I mean, you're kind of playing the opposite character that you often play in the films, right, which is the Arrested Development kid.
My guy's still pretty, I'm older now, so it doesn't make sense just literally for me to play like an 18-year-old anymore, but, it definitely has to do with those struggles and not wanting to grow up and kind of grappling with responsibility and stuff like that. I think it's kind of the best of both worlds.
For people who haven't seen the trailer yet, explain to them what you and Rose Byrne are doing and how your neighbors work into it.
I play a guy who's married and I have a baby, and we've just bought our first house, and then we're kind of struggling with the fact that, like, we can't drink and party that much anymore, but... And then a fraternity moves in next door, basically.
And you're thinking to yourself, this is good, we can get out.
Yeah, first we think, like, maybe it could be cool, and then we slowly realize that it would not, and then we go to war with each other, basically.
We actually do have a clip from the film. We're talking to Seth Rogen about the movie called Neighbors. It opens up everywhere on Friday, and I think this is a scene where you're kind of getting to know the head of the fraternity next door, played by Zac Efron, and you guys are trying to lay down some rules in the neighborhood.
Hey, who's this little lady?
Stella.
Stella,
that's
yeah.
So best cute. Name ever. Are you kidding?
She's a little flirt.
Oh, like her mom, I bet.
Cool.
Anyway, if you could maybe just sometimes...
Keep it down?
All right.
Well, and man, if you guys ever need anything or we get too noisy, just talk to me or talk to Pete. We'll take care of it.
Same with us. I mean, we get pretty loud over there.
Yeah, yeah. We're
Game
busy.
Of Thrones, we get loud. When Khaleesi comes out, I'm like, oh! Yeah, it's crazy. All righty.
Well.
Dope.
painful.
Seth, I want to ask you about one more thing. You've been in the news a little bit with the interviews you've been doing this week about what an a-hole, I don't remember what the term was, maybe it was S-head that you used to describe Justin Bieber. And we couldn't agree with you more. And Kevin gets a lot of joy out of ragging on Justin Bieber on Twitter because it just drives the believers insane. I'm wondering what kind of pushback you're getting from his fans worldwide.
It's not that bad, honestly. I mean, I get.
Well, you need to step it up.
I get tweets from what I assume are just like 12-year-old girls. Every once in a while, I write back and bother them and antagonize them a little bit. But generally speaking, I ignore it. It's not. It's not quite as much as you would think, honestly.
I just applaud you as a human going after him, even and instead of sticking up for him as a fellow Canadian for calling him out on what a dick he is. Though I just think it's great. I think more people need to do that.
Thank you. I think he. I think as a Canadian, I have the responsibility to point out his.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. That is expected of you.
Yeah. Well, you keep up the good work, and we're so excited about this Friday. The film is called Neighbors. We'll all be seeing it. Seth, you know we love you, man. It's always great to have you on the Kevin Bean Show.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean! How dare you, by the way?
How dare you drag this feature back on the radio?
Before we get into thanks for that tweet, Bean, I would like just for Ralph's head to explode, I would like for Bean to explain to people what his avatar is on his Twitter account.
What are you talking about? Why is that a...
tell Ralph.
Why do you ask that?
Just tell Ralph.
What's your avatar?
Just a picture.
Just a picture of a thing I like. You know, right. I changed my avatar. Sometimes right. I just put up a thing.
Right. What's the thing you like?
What's the picture of?
Meredith.
Right. Who's Meredith?
Meredith Baxter Burney.
Taylor Swift's cat.
Holy crap.
Yay!
Taylor Swift's cat.
Come on.
Taylor Swift's cat has a very large online fan club and presence. She's very popular.
Taylor puts up a lot of pictures
of her cat. Her cat's a little bit of a celebrity of her own, and I think she's adorable.
Tweet.
Bean.
So that's what I'm thinking right now.
Tweet.
Bean.
I want you to be set on fire.
These are actual tweets. Bean, we don't need further explanation. We understand them all.
But I think sometimes you guys unfairly judge because you take them out of context.
Ah. Oh, because we read them? Because we read them the way someone on Twitter might?
Are you making stuff up, Ralph, or are you...
No, these are all actually tweets that Bean has written and then proceeded to hit send and tweeted out to the world.
Well, let's hear a few.
So I think the context actually is perfect. I think it's exactly what it is, which is these are words that you tweeted.
All right, let's hear what you got.
Lemmings were wishing Cat Corbett a happy birthday yesterday. I was picking my spot today to be the only one still in the game.
So, is that you bragging?
Just wishing Cat a happy birthday. That's all. That's all I was doing. Nothing wrong with that.
But a day late, so you were saying, "Oh,
yeah, I did. So I did miss her."
You're saying I win.
I win somehow. And then the other
tweet.
Bean.
Couldn't just... How about happy belated birthday? Could you have done that?
That would have been another way to go.
Instead of dressing it in assholery.
My pancake is an innie.
What the hell does that even mean?
With a photo of my pancake that had a little dip there where the syrup collects right there in the middle. It looked like an innie belly button. I was taken by that.
Wow. How taken can you be by that?
Just unusual.
It's that something, pancake!
That's something you see normally occurring in your pancakes.
It's a pancake!
You know how much I love my pancakes, and it was just a surprise.
That's right. Tweet.
Bean!
Every time I remember that one of the fat boys is dead, it's my personal 9/11.
That goes without saying. I think we all share that sentiment. The world's a sadder place.
How often do you have that thought?
Well, when it comes up. You know, I'm just saying.
How often does it come up?
I hear a lot of fat boys songs and rotation. It just makes...
makes you sad
all over again. I listen to a lot of the classic hip-hop stations and things like that. And
Fat boys are going crazy extra hard today, huh?
How dare you.
Is that serious? The Fat Boy channel? Do they have that?
It's Backspin. That's the channel.
Tweet.
Bean!
Now that Kevin Ryder got his photo with Alessandri Ambrosio, I am more determined than ever to find Gordon Lightfoot.
You guys are with me on that. You support dreams, right?
Not yours. No.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean!
It's dumb.
Good to wake up to George Michael's One More Try on the radio and get the weepiest part of your day out of the way first thing.
That's an effing sad song, man. You realize that when you hear it again.
Oh, how many of us
that is rough.
Heard that song in years?
And who's
that
weeping to George Michael songs?
I'm just saying, when you hear it, you realize how sad.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean.
Whoa, I'm glad I got that out of the way.
Hey, other cities baseball fans. What does it mean when you have a W next to your team's name in the scores?
Mariners had lost a lot in a row at that
point. Self-deprecating humor from Bean.
Starting to forget what it was like. But they've rebounded. They're above 500 now, so it's all
that
good.
That is good news for nobody listening.
How about
thanks for that
tweet.
Bean!
Mariners win a game, or Mariners are losing a lot. Why is it a convoluted riddle of a Twitter you have to figure out or the diagram says to see what the hell you're talking about? Hey, other cities baseball fans, what does it mean when you have a W next to your team's name in the scores?
You're saying
is that the riddle of the cat people? Is that inscribed in a pyramid somewhere?
All right, we're out of time here, guys. We got to go.
Ping
penguin cam, stat!
Oh, if I...
That's the entire tweet.
I'm going to...
Ralph, with a link to the penguin cam, by the way.
To sit in here and listen to Bean talk about the goddamn penguin cam all week. It's absurd.
Penguin cam stat. That's all it was. Even if someone wanted to see the penguin cam, I wouldn't know from that tweet where to go.
You can't include a link?
I did. There was a link. There was a link to the penguin cam. It was on there. But I'm just saying, look, that's a,
that is a tweet.
Bean.
That is
that's
a service
that
to
tweet.
Bean.
Bean.
People who follow me on Twitter.
That tweet.
Bean. I would want a heads up.
And lastly, I feel like the letter Q should come earlier in the alphabet.
That is the one that got retweeted to Ralph and I the most from people saying, you have to do things for that tweet, Bean, about this tweet.
Universal derision.
They're turning you in, Bean.
What kind of nonsense is that? Who's got time in their day to think about the order of the alphabet?
And how can one letter feel like it should go anywhere else than where it is?
It's just sometimes you look at it and it just looks all hinky. It just looks all out of balance or something like that. I just feel like Q is down there. It's too close to like the W's and the X's and the Z's.
You're stupid.
If it moved way to the left, I feel like it would be much more balanced. You guys know what I'm talking about.
No, you're stupid and dumb and absurd.
I hope
thanks for that tweet.
Sorry, Ralph, what?
I hope you choke on an any pancake.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
It is 8:36. I don't see him on the hold, so I'm reluctant.
I know. This is what happened with Seth Rogen just a half hour ago. We played the intro, and there he was. I don't know how you how's Dave feeling about Drew Doughty if we hit the intro.
He'll be calling in any second.
So should I start the intro? Because if we end the intro and he's not there, there'll be hell to pay.
Right.
Then no.
Okay.
Oh, there he is.
Play it. Play the intro.
Hit it. Hit it, Steve.
What a beautiful tech.
Comes to hockey, I don't think about it at all. I try not to think about the skills or anything. I just really want to work my hardest and play my heart out and just play my game and hopefully help my team win.
Drew Doughty, when he has pressure on him, he becomes a better player.
Doing really good. Whoa, what a check by Doughty at the blue line on Taylor Hall.
Drew Doughty, here he comes. Doughty in front. He scores!
Nice check there from Drew Doughty.
Kopitar up the middle, shot, score! Right down the middle. The Kings got it to Doughty. 3-1 Los Angeles. And the Los Angeles Kings take early control of this Battle of Southern California. They win the first two in Anaheim.
Goosebumps when you hear that audio, right, Kevin? Goosebumps.
Absolutely.
I got to tell you, you got to get hot at the right time. The Kings waited until the last possible second to turn it around in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but now have won six in a row, up 2-0 against Anaheim. We are delighted to welcome back to the program Drew Doughty from your Los Angeles Kings. Hi, Drew. Welcome, sir.
Hey, how are you guys?
Very good. Let's, if you don't mind, I'd like to go back a series and talk about the Sharks because that was bad. That was a bad start. We were down 3-0, and as much as you believe in your team And the fans believe in the team. Still, you go, three games is a tough thing to overcome. What was your mindset during that time? How did you stay positive?
It was tough to stay positive, obviously. But like you said, we believed in our teammates. We believed in our team. And we just had to take it one game at a time. We won game four at home. And then after that, we knew the toughest test was going to be winning Game 5 in San Jose. And we overcame that one. We knew we were going to have Game 6 coming back to L.A., and then it was a toss-up for Game 7. So we just took it one game at a time. And like I said, just believed in it, and it happened.
Does that help you with the Anaheim Ducks series, which is going on now, the Kings being up 2-0? Does that help you not be overly confident because you've seen that be overcome?
Yeah, for sure. We know how easily things can change in a series. It just takes one moment in a game, and the momentum's overturned, and it's a different series. So we're definitely not taking the foot off the gas pedal. We need to go up 3-0. We have a big game here at Staples. We don't want to be losing games at home throughout the playoffs, and we need to make this series go up 3-0 and then finish it off from there.
Speaking of home ice, is it much more difficult when you don't have home ice? Because you did beat the Ducks two games in Anaheim. It doesn't seem like they had much of a home ice advantage.
Yeah, playing in Anaheim, it's obviously not that far of a drive for us, and our fans were unbelievable there. You'd hear "Go Kings, Go" chants when we'd score goals. It, you know, it was really loud. It really didn't. As much as it was an away game, our fans did a really good job of making us feel at home. And we felt comfortable there. We still didn't play two of our best games we've ever played, but and maybe we stole the first one a little bit, but we won both games, and that's all that matters. We're coming home now with a 2-0 lead, and you know, we're just looking forward to game three.
Speaking of the first game, Marian Gaborik was unbelievable with, what was it, 8 seconds left in the regular game and then in overtime. Talk about him being added to the team.
Yeah, Gabby's helped our team out quite a bit. He's an unbelievable goal scorer. He's got great vision on the ice, plays well on both ends of the ice, which is key to having success on our team. And he's playing with Kopi, and Kopi is just an unbelievable player. And when he has someone as highly skilled as Gabby playing with him, he's just going to get Gabby the puck. And it gives Kopi a little more room out there, too, which I think they both benefit from.
This is the voice of Drew Doughty here on the Kevin and Bean Show, number 8 for the Los Angeles Kings. A few days ago, we talked to Ryan Getzlaff over there on the Ducks side, your Canadian gold medal hockey friend. And he was so matter-of-fact talking to us about taking that puck to the face and that injury, that terrible injury that he had in his series. How about you Monday night? You got pretty beat up in that game, but that's just part of the job for you guys. It seems like you guys don't feel pain when you're playing. How do you do it?
When we're playing, we don't feel the pain, but you definitely feel it, you know, the day after the game and leading up to the game. So, yeah, it's playoff hockey, and you'll do anything it takes to raise that cup over your head, which is the ultimate goal. You're just going to take it one step at a time, but you'll play through anything for your teammates.
I was really upset after Beauchemin, I think it was, slashed you in the back of the leg. Basically,
yeah,
away from the puck, and it was just a cheap shot, and I was really angry, and they interviewed after the game, and you were like, eh, happens.
Yeah, you know, to be honest, it was a slash, but it wasn't like it was something crazy. It just hit the wrong spot and kind of just put me down for a second, but yeah, it's playoff hockey, it's whatever. They're going to be running our top guys, we're going to run their top guys too.
So you said also in the post-game press conference that stuff happens all the time in the regular season. It just happens more in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's very similar. Instead of maybe things like that happen to a player 5 times in the regular season, it's going to happen 10 in playoffs. So playoffs is just everything is bigger and better in playoffs. That's as best I can explain it.
You didn't get much time off, obviously, because round one went 7 games. Do you guys feel like you're running on adrenaline, you got momentum, or are you also tired?
No, I don't think we're tired. I think we were running on momentum, the adrenaline of the crowd from playoffs and just being in a playoff series is helping us as well, but we shouldn't be tired. You know, it's kind of good maybe having just a quick turnaround rather than be sitting at home for a while just because you don't have a lot of time to think about things. You just kind of get right back at it and you use that momentum for the previous series.
Your coach, Daryl Sutter, is so quiet. At least he looks like he's quiet on the bench. Is he? What is he like in the locker room? Does he go crazy?
Yeah. He'll.
I can't picture that.
yeah, he's not very quiet at all, to be honest. I think Daryl's just focused on making our team win. Not that he doesn't enjoy doing the media, but all the media and all the other stuff outside of just the series and the game, he really wants to ignore and wants to take that out of our minds. He just wants us to go out there and play our game plan and play with heart and be the most competitive guys out there.
I watch every single, and I am not a huge fan of sports interviews because I think basically they're the same questions and basically they're the same answers. But Daryl Sutter is quite a technician when it comes to Q&As with reporters.
He's very entertaining.
Have you watched some of those where the question will be 48 words long and his question is,
nope.
His answer is one word.
Yeah, he's funny, that's for sure, when it comes to that stuff. We usually don't watch it, but if he has one that has a huge highlight in it, so we'll usually get get known about it, and then the guys will pull it up on their phones at the rink, and we'll pass the phone around and just laugh at it.
Does he have a sense of humor about that? Or can you rib him about it?
Yeah, I think he could. I don't know if any of us really will go up to him and rip him about it. We'll rip him about other things. But, yeah, Daryl's got a great sense of humor. He makes jokes at the right times, but in playoffs it's kind of hard to get him to laugh too sure. much because he's just too serious.
Yeah, yeah, you guys are pretty focused. Maybe you bank that ribbing till after you win another cup. Maybe that's when the comedy starts, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then, then we have our fun.
All right, Drew Doughty on the phone with us here at the Kevin Beach Show, talking about the Kings versus Ducks. Hey, before we let you go, we did want to mention that EA Sports is looking for votes for NHL 15. This is the next generation of hockey superstars. You can go to NHL.com/covervote. Let's see, Kevin, do we recognize any of the 8 players that you can select from who can be on the cover of the game? Whose name do you see there?
I recognize all of them, but Drew Doughty certainly is one of them.
Yeah, go to NHL.com/covervote to cast your vote, and let's get Drew on the cover of the game. That would be awesome. And it's been a great season, it's a great series, and we're having so much fun watching Drew. We're very excited you had a few moments to join us on the Kevin Beach Show, man. We are really, really rooting for you guys. Good luck, sir.
All right, well, thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys having me on here.
Sure. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 8:54.
Hey, go.
Well, speaking of reunions, no one there said. Was a reunion over the weekend.
Oh, good.
The reunion? Runaways.
Oh, Runaways. Oh.
Yep. well, let me explain.
Okay.
It was only for a photo, basically.
Well, that's
so what happened was reunion. Joan Jett was at a Women in Rock award thing at the Nokia Theater, and Sheree Curry and Lita Ford was there.
I feel like we're already
all got together and
already too far into
photo.
The story for me.
And if you want to check that photo out,
yes.
you can go online at www.LitaFordOnline.com, and you see it in color.
Well, oh, wait a minute.
So you got Sheree Curry, Joan Jett, and Lita Ford all in one photo.
Did he say color?
Yeah.
Apparently it is in color. Yeah, that's actually very exciting. Jeez.
What if I don't have a color monitor?
What if I don't have
a color computer monitor?
Yeah.
I'm still rocking a black and white.
I don't think you can even get one of those anymore.
I don't think so.
Rodney, that's what you're playing. What you're playing Pong on, is it, Ralph?
Yeah. Huh?
Hey, speaking of Rodney, the reason the great Rodney Bigenheimer is here today and not on K-Rock Sunday nights playing 80s songs is because he's going to help us give away tickets to the premiere of Godzilla.
All right.
It opens up everywhere on May 16th.
Hold on.
Yes.
Hold on. How does Rodney know so much about Godzilla?
You know his love for monster movies.
I didn't even realize.
What?
He loves monster
oh,
movies?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What? He calls himself Rodzilla. You didn't know that?
I didn't know that. No.
Oh, yeah. Rodzilla. He knows everything there is to know about monster movies.
Huh.
So if you think you can stump Rodney with monster movie trivia, you call right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you stump him, you win tickets to see the new Godzilla 8 days before it opens up for the rest of the world at the Dolby Theaters. How about that?
This is for the premiere, right?
Yeah, tomorrow night. That's right. That's right. This is the premiere.
Tough tickets to get.
Absolutely. So good luck. Call now. Now here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
I didn't realize Rodzilla had so much Rodzilla. Knowledge about monster movies. That's going to be entertaining.
It's his monster movie name and his porn name together.
Explains why he's out there in the hallway limbering up. You know how flexible that dude is? He was doing one of those. He was doing one of those Jean-Claude Van Damme splits out there in the hallway.
I didn't.
Off the coffee machine and the recycling bin. He was in full splits. I was so impressed.
Just meditating?
He was just his eyes closed, his hands were together in the prayer position. Just completely stretched out, 100%.
Oh, my God.
Crazy, Rodney. You're really
thick,
flexible.
Thick.
All right.
Hey, take it easy.
Hey. I didn't say what we're showing. Speaking of movies, this isn't a monster movie, but it's a big sci-fi film. Star Wars. Here's the thing. Buy all the Walt Disney stock you can.
Really?
My suggestion. Well, first of all, they went over their projected earnings this year, according to Wall Street, by, they earned about $2 billion so far this year.
So far this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
So earnings,
some of that's frozen money, right?
Oh, a lot of it's frozen money. But I'm just saying, once Disney starts cranking out these Star Wars movies, cha-ching, you hear me? Take all that money you were going to invest in Twitter stock and put it in Disney, I would say.
What maybe if I've already sunk all of my money into Twitter?
Maybe a better bet would be Disney over Twitter. Bob Iger, CEO of the company, offered an official update on the Star Wars spin-off movies. At least three more movies are coming our way.
Sweet.
That will be outside the main trilogy and its sequels and prequels.
Okay.
So we're going to get spin-off films like a Boba Fett film, for example. He's going to get his own film. There's talk about doing a one-off Han Solo film based just on the legend of Han Solo. So we may get additional Star Wars films that have nothing to do with the main storyline. So
they're marveling it up, basically.
Yes, we will get multiple Star Wars films with multiple characters at the same time. Yoda potentially also getting his own film. That'd be a great
film. That would be great.
The early days of Yoda when he's kicking ass and taking names, living in a swamp with that little cane.
You think he had a cane his whole life?
Hip is bad it is. Got that bad hip he was working on. And talk about your sci-fi. You know, usually I am not for the remakes, the reboots, the what have yous.
You do complain about that a lot.
But yeah. I am on board for this one.
What is it?
It's a major motion picture live action movie based on the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yay!
Go, go, Power Rangers! You remember the Power Rangers?
I remember that they were on.
There were five teens.
Right.
Of different colors.
Mm-hmm.
And they could battle evil.
With
their, you know, their swords and stuff.
Right.
And their kung fu. But when they combined, they would create giant Transformer-like battle creatures. Megazord!
I'm not...
Go, go, Power Rangers!
You're not selling me on this one yet.
Power Rangers. Here's the thing. It was awful. The show was awful.
Oh, it was.
But I loved it.
Did they know it was awful and they were rolling around in it? Or
yeah, it was a Japanese show that they just brought over and then just dubbed in different words into the mouths of the Power Rangers. And then they would shoot the Power Rangers out of the suits. They would make additional footage of them, you know, going to high school and stuff. And then they would just cut to the Japanese footage.
Sounds terrible.
Of them battling monsters. It was awful. But it was wildly entertaining. So here's my theory about the reboot. How much worse could they do?
Something bad and really do well with it.
Right. Yeah. It couldn't be any worse than the original. And I loved the original. So if they do anything better than that, I win.
All right.
And I get the Power Rangers back.
You might be too excited about this.
I love the Pink Ranger. She was hot.
Wait, some of the Power Rangers were girls?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was girls or guys.
No, Bean's not interested.
There was all kinds of Power Rangers.
I know as much about the Power Rangers as I do about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is to say zero.
Well, you're going to be...
They're happy. The same, right?
You're going to be happy when they bring back Power Rangers. Oh, man, I can't wait. Bryan Cranston, one of his first gigs, by the way, a little trivia, was as one of the villains on Power Rangers. He's the voice, one of the villains, yeah. So that's good news for Power Rangers fans. Beerman keeps giving me signals. It's like he's on third base. He's telling me to stay, go round.
Steal or bunt or something.
He's been doing that a lot
today.
Wait for a pop fly. He's like, give me cutoff signs and then one finger as if something's going to happen and then thumbs up. I don't know what's going on over there. What are you trying to tell me?
There's a fly. I'm shooing it away.
Don't be funny. What were you trying to tell me?
I was trying to tell you that there was two Power Ranger girls.
Thanks for the input.
That's helpful.
Someone's going to get hurt today. I'm not kidding. Today's celebrity birthdays. Phil Campbell of Motorhead is 53 years old. Tracy Lords turns 46. Our buddy Brecken Meyer is 40 years old. Matt Helders, drummer for Arctic Monkeys, is 28. And my apologies to comedian Doug Benson. He is not celebrating a birthday today. I've been saying it all morning, and his birthday is July 2nd, actually. So we were way off base on that.
Not even close.
And apparently, Doug's being bombarded with happy birthday greetings that have nothing to do with...
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Rodney on the Rock Show.
No, it's K-Rock. the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hang on, Rodney. Hang on one second.
There's
Godzilla.
Reunion.
Okay. Thanks, Rodney. Godzilla is the world's most famous movie monster. He is back with a new film coming out everywhere in theaters on May 16th, but you can see it tomorrow night at the Dolby Theater. We're going to give you a chance to win your way into the Godzilla premiere. Rodney on the Rock, who plays mostly 80s music. That's his love. Sunday nights on K-Rock. Also loves monster movies, right, Rodney?
I'm Rodzilla.
You are Rodzilla. That's true.
I don't think we understood that. We thought you were all about music.
All right, there's a reunion. Godzilla's getting back together.
That's not a band.
It's just one monster movie. It's not really a.
It was never a band.
But the movie's in color.
Right, of course it is.
If
so listen.
To see it, you can go to the theater.
Okay. Right, we're giving away tickets right now, Ruddy. 1-800-520-1067. You can ask a question about any monster movie, and if you can stump Rodney, you win your way in. Let's play, what are we calling this? Rodzilla!
Can you stump Rodzilla? Can you stump Rodzilla? Let's all stump Rodzilla now!
Yeah, wig-wham-bam. Bam.
All right, close enough. Stump Rodzilla. Who's our first contestant, Kevin?
Hang on. Can I hear your Godzilla again? Jason is on the line. Hi, Jason.
Hey, party people. What's up?
Stump Rodzilla.
My question is, what's the name of the three-headed monster Godzilla fights in his movies?
Flock of Seagulls. All right.
Now, maybe you don't understand the question.
What I win.
What was the name of it?
King Ghidorah.
Yeah, that's not... That's not Flock of Seagulls at all. So I think you were stumped, and I think Jason's going to the film, Rodney. Yes.
They fly, too. Seagulls fly.
Right, but that doesn't make it the answer.
All right,
let's go to...
All right, what?
Let's go to David. Hi, David.
Hey, guys, what's up? This is May.
Hello.
Stump Rodzilla.
All right.
Hey, Rod, Rodzilla, what's Godzilla's son's name?
Billy Ocean.
Now, Rodney, do you really honestly think Godzilla's son's name is Billy Ocean?
Yes. Why are you pestering me? Well, I gave my answer.
That's a stupid answer. David, is it Billy Ocean?
It's not Billy Ocean.
What is it?
Godzuki.
God, that makes a lot more sense. Okay, you're going to the movie, too. Two for two, Rodney. Sorry about that.
Congratulations. We're not doing a drawing, by the way. All of these people that stump Rodney are going right to the movie premiere. Let's go to Kyle. Hi there.
Morning, guys. Morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Morning.
All right, so what was the name of Charlie Hunnam's Jaeger in Pacific Rim?
Charlie Hunnam's Jaeger?
Yeah.
Explain that to me. What are you guys talking about?
That's the big automated robot he fights the monsters with.
Oh, it's a robot. Okay. Rodney knows that.
Rodney is all of a sudden
very
knowledgeable.
Movie.
We heard that, but your last two answers didn't hold that up.
The name
of was the name of the Jaeger?
Buster Poindexter.
Was it Buster Poindexter, Kyle?
No, it was Gypsy Danger.
Close. Does Gypsy Danger ring a bell?
Yeah, I sang hot, hot, hot. All right.
Thank you.
I win.
Hold on. You won. Mm-hmm.
You don't win anything.
Anything.
You're helping us give away Godzilla tickets for the listeners, right?
You're yelling at me. Why so angry?
Your answers are stupid.
Letty.
Yes. Hi, guys.
Hi. Stump Rodzilla.
What is Matthew Broderick's character's name in the 1998 Godzilla movie?
Billy Vera and the Beaters.
No.
Billy Vera.
Is that a trick question because nobody went to see that version?
I went and saw it.
Oh, okay. What's the answer?
Dr. Nico Tatsopoulos.
Okay. I like Rodney's answer better, actually.
All right. That's
four pairs of tickets. Unfortunately, Rodney, we only have one pair of tickets left for Godzilla, so let's see what you can do here.
All right.
Try to get one.
Okay.
Art, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi. Stump Rodzilla.
Hey, Rodney, what year was the first Godzilla movie ever, the first movie that came out? Sorry, I had a theme moment here.
It's a Kevin moment, first of all.
That was also a Kevin moment.
Correct.
What year was the first Godzilla film, is what he's asking.
First Godzilla film.
So the answer, now, Rodney, let me help you out here. The answer is going to be a year. It's probably going to start with the numbers 19.
99 Luft Balloons.
Is it 99 Luft Balloons?
No, it's not. Yo. 99 Luft Balloons.
Art, what is
it?
1955
Luft Balloons.
No,
you're going to Godzilla, Art.
Win.
Thank you.
You don't win anything.
All right.
We're not going to do this game again, right?
Right.
Can you stump Rodzilla?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10.
Anyway, I'm out of here.
Okay.
Head up Fairfax and
see you, Rodney.
Be blinded on the way home.
What?
Because of this big sign at the corner of... Fairfax and Melrose.
Mm-hmm.
It's at West Side Rentals. They got this great big blinding sign that blinds you. It's you can't even see where you're going.
It's just a lit sign.
Unbelievably bright. No, it's there all the time, lit up. Mm-hmm. Be blinded by the light. What can I say? Anyway.
Sign that lights up, that's all. Can we finish? Because anyway, we have showbiz.
I'm out of here.
Okay.
All right. And we have Ralph. Say good night.
Okay. Good night, Rodney. Thank you, Rodney. Ralph is here now with the showbiz beat on K-Rock.
Wowzers.
A lot of drama in Rodney just leaving the air, just getting off the radio and going home.
Just that, driving. He gets blinded.
That sounds like a struggle.
That sign is super bright.
I mean, he doesn't have to hack through a dense jungle and wrestle a tiger.
He has to avert his eyes from something. That must be terrifying for him.
I mean, he has a car still, right? He's really just getting his car and driving home.
But
right?
That yes. Sign, Bean, the sign, for God's sakes.
You can mock. You haven't
seen it. It has light bulbs that they turn on.
It does sound awfully bright.
It's not a sign made of lasers, by the way.
The shootout in your eyes?
No, it's right. just a light-up sign.
I'm sure it's regulation. I'm sure other people are fine with it.
It's just a sign. It's okay. To my shock and dismay, I'm finding out there's people in our audience who do not have the same love for the Power Rangers that I have.
What a shock.
I'm stunned and, frankly, dismayed.
Yeah. This is a new low.
And I think anyone who doesn't love the Power Rangers, frankly, God hates you.
No.
I'm pretty sure that's a...
is that in the Bible?
That is a reasonable conclusion to draw.
Sure.
Because Power Rangers rule.
I never really saw them, so I didn't care one way or the other.
Go, Power Rangers!
Okay.
Is that Megazord sequence, initiate!
You brought it to life.
Don't get it, man.
Sounds like I really missed something.
Did they have superpowers, by the way, Ralph?
They had... they were mostly martial artists.
Okay.
But they had
and probably
swords.
A tool set,
they
too,
had
right?
Swords and stuff, and of course, the Megazords. Pretty right. Awesome. The reason I bring that up is because they've just announced today that they're going to do a big budget, live action, big screen movie based on the Power Rangers. And little did I know, and I blame myself for this, I didn't know the Power Rangers were still currently on the television.
What?
Yeah.
Making new ones?
Yep. Apparently, there have been like 20 different Power Rangers series over the past 20
obviously.
Years.
Obviously.
I did not know that, but we got a call from one of the Pink Rangers from one of the series.
Somebody who actually plays that role on TV.
Yeah, and she set me straight.
Wow.
So,
hey, sorry to get that wrong.
Go Power Rangers. That's all we can say. Go TV. Here they are now. Go Power Rangers.
That's a pink one right there.
Oh. Yellow Ranger, look out! Oh, got him. Luckily. Yeah. Taking on all of Rita Repulsa's.
Why are they running? Why are they running?
There we go. Rita Repulsa was their biggest villain that I remember.
Sure.
I
remember, you don't have to tell me about Rita Repulsa.
Okay. We're good. This is, speaking of repulsive, this is unbelievable. Remember Nicole Richie, don't you?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Star Magazine did a piece on her regarding her
she's the one that did
fashion
the,
line.
Did the reality show with Paris Hilton, right?
They did the Simple Life.
Yes.
And then reinvented herself and turned into a human.
And then they also did... I think they did another show after that.
Okay.
But anyway, she married Joel Madden.
Mm-hmm.
And she started a fashion line.
Okay.
This story talked about the success of her fashion line. You have any idea what her fashion line is worth right now?
I don't.
Let me just take a little stab. Take a little stab in the dark.
$800.
You know what? You're very, very far off.
$10 million.
You also are far off.
Really?
It is a $1 billion fashion line that she made.
Possible.
I find that impossible to believe.
Yep.
Nicole Richie?
Yeah.
$1 billion?
Yeah.
So does she get more and more Richie every time we buy one of her dresses?
Oh, you know what?
We're already doing Would You Like to Take That Back Tomorrow? We don't have room for another one.
I stand corrected. I'm sorry. I have to take this back.
Please do.
Her goal is to turn her fashion line into a $1 billion enterprise.
Okay.
By the time she turns 40, that's her goal.
Okay,
I saw the headline, and I neglected to read the body of the article here.
Good, because that didn't make any sense.
Apparently, she's very disappointed that she and her husband, Joel Madden, together have earned just $10 million over the past 2 years.
Which was my guess.
Which was what your guess was, yeah.
Wow, Kevin. Thank you. That's a lot, by the way. I think they should be happy with that.
I would be very happy with $10 million over the past 2 years.
Right.
I'd be happy with $10,000 over the past 2 years. So her goal is to make it a $1 billion enterprise by the time she turns 40, however.
We need to start a clothing line.
No doubt. It seems like anybody can do it.
And perfume.
No Doubts is a great clothing line.
File.
Come on.
And everybody is successful with it. Jessica Simpson is a multimillionaire now because of her fashion line.
That's true.
And that's ludicrous.
Does Ludicrous have a fashion line? Emma Stone's the best.
Yes.
However, maybe she shouldn't be talking so much about her struggles. In 17 magazine, she did an interview where she said there are rumors that she's been starving herself to remain so svelte. But the truth is, she just has a struggle keeping on weight.
Say what?
No matter what she eats, it's just hard for her to keep weight
on. She can't eat enough.
She can't eat enough. She eats all the time, but it's hard to maintain weight because she just keeps losing weight. She's just too naturally thin.
You know what that's like, Lisa, when you're at 10,000, 12,000, 14,000 calories in a day just to maintain, just so that you don't lose weight.
Just so you don't look skeletal.
It's terrible. You think you're going to disappear.
So you don't seem so bony.
Yeah. People are always saying, eat a sandwich.
Right.
So tired of hearing that.
Jimmy Kimmel, our buddy Jimmy, congratulations. He just got an extension from ABC on his contract for another 2 years.
Good for him.
So we know that we'll be enjoying Jimmy's show at least through January 2017. He's currently in his 11th season. Is it possible he's on television for 11 years?
Wow. Really?
Wow. Isn't that crazy?
It is funny after all those years of Leno and Letterman to now have this new group of people in there, the Fallons and the Seth Meyers and the Stephen Colbert soon and Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, they're the new kings.
Yeah.
I don't recognize any of them. I don't know who any of these people are except for Jimmy. And Oasis singer Liam Gallagher has fully admitted now that he is indeed the father of writer Liza Gorbani's baby. Initially, he was denying the fact, but now he admits it. He's trying to work out how much money he's going to have to pay her in child support. His baby girl, Gemma, is now 16 months old, and he's going to finally start paying something towards raising her. That just as a curious little aside, Liam has 4 kids from 4 different women.
Oh.
Is that a good plan?
And we'll continue to pay child support for all of them, now including Jenna. So he better get on the road and start making some money.
He's not going to be crapping on those Oasis reunion rumors much longer, is he?
I guess he won't. And Ray J is in the news. Did you know he has a reality show in the works?
No.
Called Love and Hip LA?
Nope.
Yeah. It's going to be on VH1. Boy, VH1 and E are just battling it out for most craptastic
for the
networks
bottom.
On television. To mark the occasion, he bought a Bentley convertible for his girlfriend, Princess Love. She was one of the Power Rangers, wasn't she?
I think so.
Princess Love. And he bought himself a Ferrari because, you know. You're making 7 figures doing crappy reality shows. You got to celebrate somehow. We got to get a reality show and a fashion line.
And a perfume. Yep.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Phil Campbell of Motorhead is 53 years old today. Actress Tracy Lords celebrates her 46th birthday. Actor Brecken Meyer, our good friend, of course, stars on Franklin and Bash.
He's awesome.
He is the best. 40 years old today. Matt Helders. Drummer for Arctic Monkeys celebrates his 28th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have a brand new internet roundup for you. We have Would You Like to Take That Back, which Bean and Lisa were trying very hard to get in on.
Under the wire. They're trying to get their points up.
In this past showbiz, Scott Aukerman will be here to tell us about Comedy Bang Bang, which comes back tomorrow night.
Oh, so funny.
It's the most absurd show on TV, and it's awesome. And we also have Craig Robinson.
Craig Robinson.
Let's hear it for Craig Wilson, everybody.
And that is tomorrow morning, along with your tickets for the world premiere of Godzilla.
Yes.
We'll see you tomorrow.